Welcome to the Wednesday, November 30th, 2011 edition of the Science and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The big news item today was a new exploit against HP printers. According to HP, printers before 2009 are affected. The exploit itself is actually rather basic, and we just recently discussed this kind of exploit in relation to Apple's iTunes software. The problem is that the printer may be downloading firmware without actually validating whether or not the firmware is legit. So the printer is not checking any kind of digital signature for the firmware. In this case, this has been exploited in the proof of concept here rather spectacularly by actually setting printers on fire. Firmware can, of course, be used to regulate low-level processes in the printer, like, for example, cooling, protection against overheating and such. And if the firmware is modified, those protections may not work as designed, and as a result, things like fire are possible. Now, the big question, of course, is how do you protect yourself from this? It's not clear whether or not there will be a software fix possible for this problem. Like I said, newer printers, according to HP, do not suffer from this problem. However, exploits against printers aren't really all that new. A lot of modern printers, kind of like what we talked about with voice over IP gateways, are essentially servers. So you find things like, for example, FTP servers, web servers and such on these systems. The printer will use an underlying operating system like a Linux or a Windows, and it will come with all the vulnerabilities these operating systems come with. So, well, first of all, you want to keep these printers patched. Do it securely, download the patch, validate it, then apply it. Also, there is usually no good reason to expose a printer directly to the internet. Printers should only be used locally, maybe through a VPN if you have remote users that need to use, for example, a printer in a central office. And then, of course, all access to the printer should be authenticated in some fashion. If you don't do this, the minimum problem you're exposing yourself to is that someone is just using the printer for fun and printing stuff, wasting paper and ink. The worst problems are like these firmware patches, but also what has happened in the past is a lot of the printers will actually keep local copies of files they printed. So someone compromising the printer via a web vulnerability or via the FTP server that's frequently implemented in these printers is then able to download documents printed to the printer in the past, which may leak confidential information. This particular problem also came up in the past with the hard disks that are included in these printers and that they need to be disposed of properly. One more quick note about this. One thing I didn't like about this particular news alert or vulnerability release was that evidently the vendor that was not provided with sufficient warning and pre-release of this vulnerability. But let's see what else we have. According to the Danish security research group CSIS, there is a new Facebook worm spreading, and well, that's actually a version of SUSE. In this case, what is happening is that the attacker is using compromised Facebook accounts, so the attacker is actually able to log in as these users and then essentially spamming the user's friends with links that then turn out to be an executable SUSE bot in this case. The link is somewhat camouflaged as a screensaver or image to make it a little bit less look like a dangerous executable. Nothing really fundamentally new here, I think, but apparently lots of people are still falling for it. And if you have a new mobile security story, in this case, it's actually not a piece of malware that's yet being downloaded by user, but instead it's about software that comes pre-installed on many phones. The software's name is Carrier IQ, and a researcher by the name of Trevor Eckhart took the time to look closer at what this software is doing. The software is built as a diagnostic tool that carriers install on phones to collect data about dropped calls and such, but what Trevor found is that the software is also doing things like, for example, reporting back the location of the phone, keystrokes, and things like that. Even if they are sent over HTTPS, for example, to a website, Carrier IQ will still record those keystrokes and then report back on them. Not necessarily clear yet how this all fits together. I encourage you to look at Trevor's YouTube video. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.